Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Lord Jesus, thank you for your holy word, Lord. Thank you for Ashley's insights, Lord. Thank you for just your grace and your mercy that Ashley talked to Kinsley about. Lord, all of the things that go into our life of faith, Lord, I just pray that we would see them. I'm not going to ask for understanding because you know I don't understand. But Lord, I have the faith to walk in those promises that you have for us. Lord, I have the faith to walk in that grace that you have for us, that goodness that you have for us, even when I can't see it, when I don't feel it, when I don't understand it. Let that be true for all of us, Lord, that your goodness and your mercy will follow us, will chase us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a seat. See up on the screens, you have an opportunity to give today if you want to give to the ministries and support our outreach efforts and all the different ministries that go on here. And I don't know about you, but my money is pretty important. How about yours? Well, if it's not, then you can just please pass that to me. Let me give you my account number. I just want to pray for just kind of not just our stewardship, but just our appreciation of the money that we have, even when it doesn't go far enough, right? Just the appreciation of what we do have. Lord God, thank you for just the provisions that you have in our lives that we call money. Lord, there's so much more to it than just the money, but yet that's what you call us to give because that's what makes ministry happen. In so many different ways, like going to Hope Community and giving out this kind of blessing bags to the people that are in need. Lord, to funding missionaries in our church and around the world. Lord, snack packing. Lord, salaries and just all the different things that have to take place. Lord, it's all for your kingdom. Lord, you use it. Use us. And Lord, let us be good stewards of everything that we have, including our money. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As kiddos, if y'all want to start making your way to Grace Kids, kind of to piggyback on what Matt was saying, we are doing another outreach at the end of summer on August 21st with the kids. And so in addition for the kids collecting their offering once a month like they did last week, we're also going to be doing a sock drive so that we can take, our goal is 1,000 pairs of socks to take with us when we go serve a meal in August. And so starting next week, there'll be some laundry baskets outside of both offices if you want to leave gently used or brand new socks out there. So for the next couple months, we're going to collect those so we can take those with us. VBS is also coming up. I think, looking around the room, I think everybody who can come is mostly registered. But if you have any friends that you want to bring or anything like that, also next week we have work days. If you aren't quite willing to step out and be a volunteer at actual VBS, we do have lots of prep work that goes on this next week. Youth, it's a great time for you to get some of those service hours that you have to get for the summer. So we can keep you busy that way as well. So just holler at me, and I can get you all the details on that. Is that all the kiddos? I think so. All right.
Well, I can already tell that y'all are Memorial Weekend sleepy because you didn't laugh at my first joke. So y'all are going to have to wake up. See, that's pathetic. I don't know what's going on here. So y'all are going to have to get into this and just really be excited about what the Lord's doing because we're talking about breakthrough a little bit. Still on this idea and this theme of going off, you can text the word notes to that phone number right there and you can get today's notes. It'll be more than you get in the sermon, so I encourage you to do that, to look over that. And then if you want to, you can scan that QR code and get the same thing. Sometimes I think that in our breakthroughs, when we go off, that we have to realize that sometimes we have to be desperate and we have to be diligent when we do that to get the breakthrough that we're looking for. And sometimes it takes time to do that, and sometimes it takes trying lots of different doors, lots of different avenues, lots of different pathways until we find the right one. What I always pray for myself and for my family and for you is that we don't have to try too many paths, and hopefully we're following you so we get it right the first time, or at least not the 10th or 11th or 12th time. And today I want to talk to you about where I want to jump right in and talk about Jesus and this passage of Scripture. It's going to be a little long today, but I think it's important to get the whole story. And so I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to just hear what's going on. And I'm going to come back into it and give you some highlights. Two things that I want you to pay attention to. One is a dad is going to try to find Jesus because his daughter is dying. Dads, raise your hand if you have a daughter. Okay, dads, raise your hand if you have children. Moms, same. Here we go. So you're going to be able to relate to this. There's another part of the story right in the middle. There is a woman who's got an illness, okay? You're going to hear, I think it's called the issue of blood. She's bleeding. She's got lots of things going on. A lot of people don't want to dive into this part of the story because they think it's just a female bleeding issue. It is not. It is way more than that. It's been going on for 12 years. It's nonstop. It's constant. She's got real problems, and so she's in the middle of this. Now, some of you, whatever illness you may have, whatever heartache you may be experiencing, whatever the just kind of the thorn in your flesh is for the past 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 years, then you can relate to this woman as well. And then in the middle of all that, I want you to look how Jesus handles both of them. So we're going to jump into Scripture. First, here it's going to be in Mark 5, 21 through 42. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat, let me get this up here so I can see, to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and upon seeing him, fell at his feet, implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years, okay, had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloaks, for she thought, "If I could just touch his garments, I will get well." Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus perceived in himself that the power was proceeding from him, had gone forth, turned around in the crowd, and said, "Who touched my garment?" And his disciples said to him, "You see this crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." When he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, Jairus, and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, hearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But putting them out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the little child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Okay. Immediately, the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately, they were completely astounded. a lot there, a lot going on there. But what I want to point out, first of all, is the environment in which it all took place. Now, I want you to think about the environment you live in, the environment you work in. Think about the environment of your family, of your friends, everything going on around you, who you associate with, who you work with, who you play with, right? All the different things. Anybody and everybody, and think about your environment, because the environment that Jesus was in is really important. The environment that the woman was in was really important. The environment that the synagogue leader was in is really important. For us, sometimes we don't choose wisely who we are companions with. Sometimes we choose because they're fun, but they end up really not being very healthy for us. Sometimes we end up choosing because they look good on the outside, but then we find out on the inside they're not so good. And all of these things make a difference in our lives. I've been taught all of my life that be careful to, you know, choose your friends wisely. Even Scripture says bad company corrupts good character, right? Scripture tells us to be careful not to fall into the ways of corrupt people. Don't change my ways to become like somebody else. I tell you all the time, I tell kids all of the time, you be the influencer. Right? Well, that's a word in our culture today, isn't it? To be an influencer on social media. No, you be the one that influences other people. Don't let other people influence you. You know Jesus Christ. You should be the one making the influence. And right here, Jesus, when he walks into this house, I love this, he runs out all of the naysayers, right? So, I mean, he tells them Jesus is going off to do ministry. We've been talking about going off and following Jesus. Jesus is going off with this man to do ministry, to raise a little girl from the dead. And as soon as he gets there, he tells people to get out. I love that the Scripture makes a point to say that they laughed at Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't think that I've ever laughed at Jesus. I don't know that I would even think about laughing at Jesus. I've been mad at Jesus, but I've never made fun of Jesus. And that's what they were doing. And so he tells them to get out. I mean, if you think about it, I know that we think of funerals in a different setting than just when somebody dies, like in the hospital room. But can you imagine being in the room with somebody that has just gone to heaven, right, has just died? Jesus walks in and said, here, let me take care of this. And then everybody starts laughing at him. That's what this is like. And he tells them to get out. He's indignant. Think about when he's in the temple and he's kicking over the tables and he's trying to run out all the people that are making fun of the God himself, and that they're making fun of the place that God said, I'm going to make a house of prayer, right? And you've made it a place where you can make money. That's how indignant he is. And he runs everybody out. And these are friends. This is what I really don't understand. These are friends of Jairus. These are friends of his wife. These are friends of the family. And they are in there when they go to find Jairus, right? They go off and they find him with Jesus and his friends. Hashtag worst friends ever. Amen? They say, don't bother Jesus anymore. She's dead. Terrible friends. And yet that's the company he was keeping. The miracle that this dad was asking for did not happen until Jesus changed the environment of where the miracle was taking place. Did you hear that? The miracle that that this dad was asking for, the miracle that Jesus was going to do, didn't take place. I didn't say he couldn't do it without changing the environment, but I said he preferred to change the environment before the miracle took place. How about your life? How about my life? How about all of our situations? What do we need to change? What are your thought processes, right? What's your environment? Who are you running around with? How are you talking? What are you watching? What are you listening to? How do you judge people? How do you think about things? What do you need to change in your environment? Not just this environment, but this environment. Your head and your heart environment before your breakthrough can really happen. Because really, I don't know of any environment, honestly. I've thought about it for a couple of weeks and thinking, what can I get myself into that I can't really change? Almost nothing. I know there might be some things and you've already thought of something, and that's fine, but outside of my genetics, right, that only God can change, there's really, I can change almost everything in my environment. What does it require? Sacrifice. I may have to make some real hard choices, but my environment can change. Because when you think about that environment, here's what I believe. It's either going to be an encouragement or it's going to be a discouragement. It's either going to raise you up and lift you up and elevate you and give you inspiration, or like I said last week, it's going to push you down and uninspire you. It's either going to promote the Lord in your life or it's going to demote the Lord in your life. And you know where you're doing that. I know where I do that. Okay, it's either going to promote the flow of the Holy Spirit or it's going to squash the flow of the Holy Spirit. You have to decide what your environment is, because they did. This man and this woman, they decided, okay? They got desperate. They were so desperate. And I think for us to have a breakthrough, I think we just have to become desperate sometimes. I think all of us, we have to get into a place sometimes in our life. I don't know about you. I know me, I am stubborn, I am boneheaded, I know what's right for me, I know what's right, I know the path, and that's what I really want to do, and it's hard for me to get out of that. It's hard. I mean, it really is, not just for a sermon illustration, it is so difficult for me to let go and to say, okay, God, I need to hear from you. And when he doesn't respond immediately, oh, it just gets exponentially harder and exponentially harder. And it may be day after day after day, I have to keep saying, what is it you need me to do? How can I follow you? If you're at home today and you're online, you might be thinking that you didn't come today, if you were available to come today, because you just didn't think it was worth it. I would say that you're not desperate enough. I would say that we get to these places where we get complacent, which I'm going to get to in a minute, but we have to be desperate and diligent sometimes before the Lord starts breaking through, before the breakthrough can happen. Our text doesn't specifically say how desperate these two were, but I do know this. It said that there was a crowd pressing in around Jesus. Now, I don't know which of the disciples or which one of the... This was Mark, and so I don't know which one of his friends had an aerial drone to be able to take this picture when all this happened. Hallelujah, y'all are waking up! But just as an example, if I think of a crowd pressing in, this is it, okay? And in my old life, when I was in law enforcement and I did protective detail for dignitaries, I know what it feels like for a crowd to press in, and it is not comfortable. And it kind of gives you the willies, because you feel out of control and you don't feel like you can't do what you need to do if you need to. You can't move. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening in this story. They are pressing in. When he's walking, they're just walking. I mean, if whoever can get close to him is getting close to him. And there, it's kind of like a pool of people, right? A sea of people that there's an ebb and a flow, and some are getting close to him and some are not. All these things are happening, right? And some are happy and some are not. Some are wanting something from him. Look at the little boy with the little blue around his head right there. He's got a little smile on his face. He's just glad to see Jesus. But look at the guy to the left of Jesus. I don't know if that might be Jairus or not, but he's like, come on! We need to get through this crowd. My daughter is dying. I don't care what these people's problems are. Anybody with me? Desperate. Desperate. And I know what this feels like. When Macy had a terrible allergic reaction one day at school, and they called me, and so they said, hey, Macy's kind of having an allergic reaction. We need you to come up here and check on her and maybe take her to the doctor or whatever. They didn't sound urgent. I said, okay. And so, I mean, I drove to the school. I went the speed limit, did all that kind of stuff, stopped at the stoplights, and I got there, walked in casually. I mean, I didn't think anything about it, went to the nurse's office, and I'm not going to show you a picture of Macy because it would be embarrassing to her, but if you could see that photograph of her, you would go, why didn't they call an ambulance already? Horrible. Immediately, this is the way I was. They said, we're going to call an ambulance. I'm like, it's too late. I can beat the ambulance. Trust me. And boy, and I scooped her up. We went out the door, and I was not stopping at stop signs. I was not yielding for red lights. I was not doing all those things. Without lights and sirens that I really wish I would have still had, I did the exact same things I used to do, and we got to the hospital in no time at all, right? And that's urgency. That's desperation. That's walking in when you walk up to the front counter and the guy says, hey, fill out this paperwork. And I'm like, no, we're not filling out that paperwork. We need to go in, right? And so desperation. Are you desperate? What is going on in your life where you need to be that, where it's not just the casual, hey, Lord, hey, how you doing today? And I know you haven't heard from me in a while, but this little thing's going on in my life. And no, it's like a 911 call, right? 911, you are desperate. And you don't care what you look like. You don't care what you feel like. You're not going to put makeup on, ladies. Guys, you're not going to put on pants. You're just going to go out in your shorts and a t-shirt. You're not going to do your hair. You are desperate to get to Jesus. That's the desperation that's happening right here. And they had to fight their way to Jesus. I mean, there wasn't a clear pathway to get to Jesus, okay? You got to be desperate to wade through all the other stuff in your life to get to Jesus, right? The man, he got there before he ever started walking, right as he got off the boat, so that was a little easier. But if you're the woman in this situation and you're the one that's sick and you're way back in the back of the crowd, imagine trying to get to him to touch that cloak. She had to push her away. She's like, get out of the way, move. I don't know if she had to get down on her hands and feet and crawl between people and move legs and try to get up there and get down to where she was. I don't know. But this is what I mean by desperate, okay? When you've seen football players, you've seen sports things, all the stuff where they're running down the field, the great photograph on Sports Illustrated on the cover, they're diving out and they're just trying to get to the ball that's going to touch their fingertips, and they're laid out in the air. They know they're going to hit the ground, but they're going to do whatever they can to get to that ball. That's what's happening here. And that's what needs to be happening in our life. If you really want a breakthrough, how desperate are you? Are you praying? Are you reading scripture? Are you worshiping? Are you really listening to what God is telling you to do? Are you really following him and giving up your own plans, your own ideas, and say, Lord, show me? Because all she did was reach through that crowd just to touch him. You know how I try to touch him? Hey, how about you? How about all of us? Jairus is desperate because his daughter is dying. She's desperate because she's been bleeding for 12 years, and they both know that there's nothing that Jesus can't handle. They both know if they can just get to Jesus, physically. You don't have to get to him physically. It is as easy as just talking to him. The hard part is, what are we going to get out of the way? What are we going to tell to get out? There's some people that have submitted prayer cards. I just saw this one. And the prayer months ago was my job. That was the prayer. And when we did that Sunday, and I still encourage you to fill those out, please do, because we're still praying over these. This is the answer to their prayer. It said, a week after putting my prayer on the stage, I got a call offering me a job that I didn't even apply for. That gives me more freedom to spend time with my kids, right? This person, I think I know who this is. They walked into work and they literally said, we're sorry, you don't have a job anymore. Didn't see it coming, didn't know it was happening, didn't know what they were going to do. They were unemployed from that point forward. They asked the Lord, said, Lord, I need a job, right? I don't know how desperate they did that. I mean, they came forward to pray, and for a lot of you, that's pretty desperate. If you're going to cross this line up here, you're scared you're going to turn into a fiery ball of ash, right? I don't know what it is, but I know you. I know how it is. And that person may have been the same, but they came forward. They asked for prayer. And a week later, they got a call from somebody that they didn't even apply with. How awesome is that? And I know I'm going to say this as a disclaimer. It doesn't always work that fast, and it doesn't always work that way, but I promise you it does work. The Lord hears us. Here's one that's not been answered yet, but this is desperate, okay? I don't know who this is. I'll never know who this is unless they come and tell me, and you will not either. But it says this, that this is the prayer. For the love of God to be found, right, in my heart forever that doesn't rely on my feelings. That is somebody that has finally figured out that you're not always going to feel God in your life. You're not always going to feel the love of God. You're not always going to feel good about your relationship with God. You're not always going to feel it. It said, for the love of God to overflow in my life, to make an impact on me or in my life every day. For questions to be answered, to remember God's grace always, to learn to listen. And I know they were desperate they were emotional when they were writing this, because even at the bottom says, sorry for the messy writing. I mean, it was like as fast as they could write to get this down on paper. Are you desperate? Let me just point out that here's the other thing that was going on with these two is about the authority of Jesus, right? Your environment, okay? The environment that we live in, the diligence that we have, and the authority that we recognize. Because they recognized Jesus' authority. Now, Jairus, he was a synagogue leader. He knew the authority of Jesus, and obviously he believed in it because he went and looked for him, okay? He sought him out. But it said for the woman, said she heard about Jesus. I don't know what that means, but that's not quite as intense. That's not quite as relational as whoever the synagogue leader was, right? I mean, I think all of you would be the synagogue leaders and somebody that maybe had driven by the church and had seen a sign out front that said something about Jesus. That's who the woman who was bleeding was. Not quite. She just heard about Jesus, but she believed in his authority. And authority matters, okay? I believe this. Awareness of Christ's authority, his true authority, will determine the interaction that you have with him. And I also think that it will determine the response that you get from him. Because if you don't recognize his authority, you don't care what he says, right? If you don't recognize his authority, you're really not going to interact with him in such a way. How about this? How many of you have talked to somebody in customer service somewhere, and they couldn't answer your question, or they didn't know what you were asking, or you start listening to them, and you go, they don't have a clue what they're doing, and you say, excuse me, don't take this the wrong way, I'm not trying to be rude, but can I please talk to a... Yeah! You want to go up! You want to go up to somebody with more authority. That's what we want. We want somebody with more authority, okay? And just in the last couple of weeks, I can tell you how this works. And we do it here. Why do we not do it with Jesus, okay? And so for us, we have some friends, and they were having an issue with trying to get a passport in a real big hurry. And so they were telling me this story, and I say, hey, look, it's a long shot, but call this person right here, and they might be able to help you, right? And within a week, they were in the passport office, and within just a few days after that, they had a new passport. See, that's just somebody that had authority. That had nothing to do with me. That had nothing to do with them. That had somebody that had authority to make something happen. And for all of us, we do that. We know we're looking for somebody in authority, because what did Jesus say? He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Right? She just heard about Jesus. How much faith did she really have? She only had enough to believe in his authority. And if that's the case, hallelujah, I'm good. Because when we go back to that mustard seed scripture, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. And whose authority are the mountains moving? Not mine. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Do you see it's the recognition of the authority with the faith that you have that matters? Because you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't recognize the authority, then it really doesn't matter. Because faith, what does Hebrews 11 say? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I can't see authority, but boy, I know when it works, right? I know when it works. And I know that when we're desperate and we're looking for that, then it will happen. Your awareness of Christ's authority, I must say it again, will determine your interaction with him. And let me tell you this, your diligence and your desperation, your allegiance to God and your recognition of his authority, it will determine, right, your relationship with God. It will determine your personal interaction. Because when she touched Jesus' garment, she was healed and she knew it. And it says that she was scared. She was afraid when he said, "Who touched me?" Do you know why she was afraid? She had faith, right? She had hope because she's like, I'm getting to him. She had hope to wade through the crowd to touch him, right? She had faith and she had hope, but what she didn't know was Jesus' love. And if you know the great wedding scripture, right? There's faith, hope, and love. These three remain, and the greatest of these is what? Love. See, it's about him responding to us. And he didn't, you know, why did he turn around? Why did he really care about this woman? Because he loved her. He wanted her to know that he cared about her more than she cared about herself. And he didn't want, I thought about this morning, he didn't want to drive by blessing, right? He didn't want to drive by miracle to take place. He wanted to run over her with his grace. He wanted to run over her with his love and his hope and his miracle. He wanted her to know that it wasn't an accident. He wanted to see her and to look her in the eyes. He wanted her to know. And I promise you that I think that that this is where I'm so passionate in life is. Don't just try to just touch the hem of his garment, right? I want you to be a linebacker and just tackle Jesus. I mean, just hit him. Just grab him and just hang on to him. Because that's what he wants to do with you. For in Psalm 23, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow." That Greek word "follow" really means chase all the days of our life until it catches us. My favorite thing to do, and you've heard it, you've heard this story, and I just like telling this story because it just makes me, I just get giddy on the inside just thinking about this. I just love this. There was my favorite thing to do when I was in law enforcement was a foot chase. I love for people to run. I mean, I would almost be going, "Please run, please run, please run, please run." And when they did, man, it just felt so good to wrap them up and to accomplish what was set before me. Not to hurt them, not to do anything like that, but just to prove to them that I wanted to get them more than they wanted to get away. Jesus, he wants to get you more than you want to get away. Did you hear me? He wants you. He told Jairus when they came up and said, "Quit bothering him. Your daughter's dead. Nothing can be done now." Jesus looked at him and said, "Quit worrying. Let's go." Right? When he got there, he walked in and he said, "I don't know what y'all are worried about," right? He goes, "Let me take care of this." And let me tell you the one last thing, and I'm over time right now, but I think this is one of the most important points today, and it's the one that I relate to the most, is the fact that Jairus had to watch somebody else get their miracle when his daughter was dying. Amen? Somebody. He had to watch somebody else's miracle take place while he was waiting for his. And then he thought he wasn't going to get it because all these friends came up and said, "I'm sorry, your daughter's dead." While Jesus is hanging out with this woman that had this illness. And scripture says, by the way, I'm not going to go back and find it, but it says that after she said it was me, it says she told him the whole truth about her life. Okay, now, this is not mean-spirited, this is just the way it is. I mean, there are, if you ask a guy to tell you the whole truth about his life, right, he's going to say, "Yeah, I'm good." There's guys laughing right now because they know what's coming. There's women that are really mad at me right now because they know what's coming. If I ask a woman to tell me the whole truth about their life, somebody start the coffee because we're going to be a while. Amen? I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And Jairus is waiting on Jesus to come to his house to save his daughter's life, and she's telling Jesus her whole life story. Well, I went to this doctor, and it was Dr. So-and-so, and when I went in, he was telling me about this and this and told me that I should be doing this, and I went to the natural health market, and I bought this, and I got this, and I even got some leeches from Aunt So-and-so. That didn't work either, but oh, wait, now what was that other doctor's name? I went to this other doctor, and let me tell you, that office, that staff, they were horrible. Rude, but I'm getting sidetracked, and Jairus is going, come on! Sometimes the hardest thing that I have to do, just full honest disclosure, is watch somebody else, the Holy Spirit moving in their life, and I'm just waiting. And sometimes it's painful and sometimes it's hurtful, but regardless, Jesus says, I got this. And it's still not the way that I wanted it, and it's still not the way Jairus wanted it, because the woman got her healing. Jairus wanted the healing, but he didn't get healing, right? He got a resurrection. And you got to have something before you have a resurrection, and that's a death. It sounds great to have a resurrection, but when you think about your daughter being dead, that's not so great. And so Jesus goes to his house. While he was waiting, his daughter has died. And let me tell you where this shift just took place. It's because when Jairus went and got Jesus, it was Jairus saying, Jesus, will you come to my house? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll come. Okay? I know it's Jesus, but Jairus had to show him the way. Okay? Jesus knew Jairus' address. I get that. But in Scripture, it says that Jesus was following Jairus to his house. But suddenly, there's a switch. When desperation finally got to where it was with Jairus, Jesus said, I got this. Come on. And he's leading Jairus to the miracle. Jairus was in the lead, and then Jesus was in the lead. I think that's important for us. I think it's important for us to know that to go off with Jesus sometimes requires us to get things out of our lives. And a lot of that's just control. And maybe I'm just preaching to me. Okay, maybe I'm just preaching to me. I don't know, but I want things to go my way. Jairus wanted things to go his way. The woman who was bleeding, she didn't care how it happened. She just wanted to be healed. And she got the response of Jesus first. Not that Jesus didn't respond to Jairus, but the one who was more desperate, the one who knew Jesus was in control, the one who knew the authority of Jesus, the one who didn't care about anything else except Jesus, that's the one that Jesus responded to first. Now, I know that you're looking at that story and you're going, where am I? And I can't answer that, but only you can. And so for us, just to know the desperation that we have in our own lives really matters. And I think Jesus uses our desperation as well, by the way, to kind of lead us into our calling, to kind of lead us into our purpose, to kind of guide us to where he needs us to go. So today, just in this last song, I just want you to pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray for you first. Ask the worship team to come up to do this last song for us to close in worship. But for us, just to really be honest with God and say, here's where I'm at. And maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, how desperate I am, Jesus. And that's just going to tell you where you need to change, where you need to move forward, where you need to reach out to Jesus, where you need to push your way through all the other stuff in your life to get to him. Lord God, you are the one and only. We sing songs, there are scriptures about you being the way maker, the chain breaker, about us praising through our breakthroughs. Lord, all the different songs, all the different scriptures. But Lord, it's all true if we would just see you. If we would just recognize your authority, if we would just come to you in such a way that, Lord, we show you our allegiance, our diligence towards you. Church, God knows what your issues are. He wants you. He knew the issues of that woman. He knew the issues that Jairus had. He knew the issues of all those people around him and more. And yet, he's looking for someone that wants to be desperate and come to him and not try to do it all on your own. Hear Jesus asking some of you, where are you? Kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden. Where are you? Wanting you to come to him. In your hurt, in your shame, in your mistakes, in your failures, in your successes. We are all different. Jairus and this woman couldn't have been any more different from each other. And yet the Lord wanted to bestow everything within him onto both of them. It's true for all of us. Lord, touch us. Lord, love on us. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Lord, call us. Lord, show us. Lord, lead us to the breakthrough. Lead us to the miracle that we're looking for. Lead us to the relationship that we need with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, my prayer is to not be afraid, but to believe. Amen. Y'all stand and let's worship close today. Continue to be in an attitude of prayer. Give it all to the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.